The El Paso Community Foundation's Jewel Box Series presents an intoxicating Valentine's Day spectacular inspired by the Roman Fertility Festival. Lupercalia Uberalis features dramatic vignettes written by Stella Maria Perry and Mackenzie Cochran, dance choreography by Mindy Chanson, artistic director of the Pasithia Dance Company, and a special guest appearance by the Tumbleweed Dance Collective. Here to tell us all about it, our choreographer and Pasithia Dance Company artistic director, Mindy Chanson, and playwright Stella Perry, co-artistic director of Zemwerk. Welcome, ladies, to State of the Arts.
Thanks. You.
Well, let's start with Lupercalia first. What is a traditional Lupercalia?
Lupercalia started out as an ancient pre-Roman fertility festival. Its origins were in the fertility of the land. So there were rituals as far as cleaning around the outside of your house with brooms, throwing salt around the outside of your house, and it translated into fertility of humans. And within that came the myth of Luper, the mother wolf, raising and suckling Romus and Remulus, twin babies, who would later end up battling, and one would be murdered by the other. And of course, Romus would go on to be the founder of Rome. From there, they had priests, the Luperci priests, that would celebrate, and they would have a very sacred ceremony where they would sacrifice goats and usually a dog to symbolize the wolf. Then it became more so of a party. So you had these same priests who would run around the town in loincloths and, using the leather hide from the goats and the dog that they had sacrificed, make whips that they would whip the females around town. And the females were supposed to feign that they were afraid and run away, but in all actuality, they wanted more than nothing to be whipped by these priests, because then they would be blessed with fertility. From there, it got really crazy. From there, it got really interesting. They would draw names from an urn and actually pick a partner on that day and be married that day. So it was like speed dating from the ancient past. So that's a little bit about the Lupercalia side. And my fascination with it came from the fact that I'm a Valentine's baby. I was born on Valentine's Day. And I'm also fascinated by pagan culture and ancient mythology. So I researched it and fell in love with it. And then we happened to decide to make a show based on it. So
the Uberalis part, I get the reference because I'm an old punk rocker. I get the Dead Kennedys. But will you tell us how that kind of came together?
Well, Zemwerk has defined a style of theater that we call punk noir. We tend to exaggerate or expose the underbelly of society and give it a sort of raw emotion and just a raw feeling on stage. So the plays that I've written are minimal in language and set dressing. They're very bare bones, getting to the real grit of what Lupercalia is about. So the Uberalis is sort of my punk expression of Lupercalia and how it's transcended into little hearts and chocolates and everything. And basically that Rome is still pretty much alive and well today, and how I feel about that. So I've taken the myth of the Remus and Romulus in the cave and the wolf mother, and I felt that she was a powerful character, and I wanted to kind of stretch her across time into these different scenarios. Since we've been celebrating Valentine's Day since pre-Rome, Roman times, Obviously the wolf mother should appear throughout. And so what we have is the first play, La Grotta, takes place in a cave in Italy, and I wanted to play with changing the gender roles. So it's not just two twin brothers. It's a female and a male, two females, whatever it could be. So we begin there, and then we transcend into sort of a medieval culture. This is all going to take place in, you know, Western European sort of diaspora. And then from there, we're going into American Gothic, And then we have like Cabaret, Weimar kind of era. And then we touch on the post-apocalypse at the end, sort of where the Wolf Mother ends up in the end of days. And what would what would the myth of the cave appear like then? So I'm kind of speculating on what new myths are going to come out of the old. And so I play with that anxiety all the time. I'm fascinated with the idea of the end of days. Mm-hmm. I'm fully prepared for it. And I think Mindy has done a wonderful job of helping me tie these short plays together with dance. And I think she can elaborate more on how she chose the music and what specific dances we were going to use to kind of let one bleed into the other. So it's less like a recital and it's all unified and it just kind of takes you on this little ride to the end.
Because it really is a theater performance with dance.
Yes.
Do the dancers have speaking parts too?
I do.
Yes. Mindy is our wolf mother. She is the star of the show. We couldn't have done this without her. It's just, it's been such a wonderful experience. And I love what she's done by taking, you know, her own flair and style of dance and mixing it with traditional dance. And there's a lot of coupling, like the coupling of putting the man and woman together. And we're doing all these wonderful, fun things. But along the way, the text of the show is kind of inverting and changing the male-feminine roles. In the cabaret piece, the man is actually sort of the female type. He's whining about why nobody wants to have his children, and he's ready to spread his seed. So we play a lot with that. So I think it's been fun. And we're making our own papier-mâché masks. And we're kind of inspired by the different masks of the different times that we're playing with and exploring. So that's been real fun, too.
And Mindy, how did you find the movement, or how did you marry the movement to the pieces that Stella wrote? I mean, I know obviously you're very familiar with the Lupercalia, but the Uber Alice is a whole other twist. How did you apply her, your movements to her text?
Well, I think even though we've been miles apart many times throughout this, she's been in Brooklyn, I've been in El Paso, we've had this amazing connection where we basically talk every single day and we're on each other. And so from the beginning, we kind of brainstormed and hatched out general ideas of what we wanted to touch on. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, they were all subjects that I enjoy, like cabaret. I love cabaret. Cabaret, the movie, is one of my favorite movies. The style, Bob Fosse, that style of dance is so fun. So really, it came naturally out of my passion and my joy for it. Finding the music also, I found some really great music for the ancient Rome Lupercalia section. And of course, we don't have recordings of ancient Roman music, but what I was able to find was created by these people who spent years researching and gathering all the information that they do know of that time period and what their music might have sounded like. So it's really neat. I mean, we've got a waltz section, and so I have a traditional waltz, but it's got a bit of a modern feel to it. And you'll see us waltz combined with contemporary dance. We will do that traditional waltz. When we're in the medieval going on to the Renaissance period, we do a saltarello. And that was taken directly. I studied, okay, I'm going to put in, you know, exactly how you would have seen someone do this in this time period. And so it's been a lot of fun. I love choreographing, and so it's been a joy collaborating with Stella on this and working towards a greater theme. I think that's what's propelled me the most, is I'm not just presenting this dance, but it all has to function as a whole to make the make it work and to push it forward. And then just one other thing, as far as the dance, I just wanted to thank Tumbleweed Dance Collective. I asked them, you know, on a whim if they wanted to collaborate, and they're fantastic. They're all dance graduates of UTEP and NMSU. So people should come to see them dance as well. They will be bookending the entire play, so you'll see them in the beginning and the end. And so it's been nice. It's been nice to...
They clean our stage for us in this sort of sacred, symbolic way. And I just love what they come up with. And as far as Mindy relating to my text, we really get to see the birth and the rise and fall of the wolf mother. In the very last play, she kind of rises from the shell of industry and she's going to do this beautiful dance. We're creating a shadow box so that we can see sort of her spirit and her silhouette just kind of rise, and we know that she's still out there, and it's really fun to do. And so I think that was the only way we could justify a set piece, which is this giant cube that I'm building, and it's going to be sort of this monolith in center stage that we rotate and sort of pay homage to throughout the entire thing. So it's quite fun. It's just to work with minimalism and budget restrictions, taking mm-hmm. fabric and shredded paper and just coming up with this wonderful show. It's just so fun. I think everyone should come out and just see our twist on Valentine's Day. Absolutely. Well,
and speaking of, the show will be performed on Valentine's Day at the Philanthropy Theater. And tickets are available on Ticketmaster. It's going to be performed Sunday, February 14th at 2 p.m. But you have a second performance that'll be an abridged version that you'll do at the Rock House. Will you tell us a little bit more about that?
The Rock House Cafe and Gallery is a really incredible gift that we have here in El Paso. They are completely supportive of the local artists here, and most other places you go, they want to charge you an arm and leg to perform, whereas the Rock House is very open. And so again, on a whim, we were like, well, we've put so much work into this. Why not give it another
twice.
Go? And of course, Michael over at the Rock House was totally cool, totally down. And so we were like, yeah, you know, all this work, it'll be great to have a second little go at it, and an abridged go at it, because I'm sure we'll be exhausted.
The gallery itself feels sort of cavernous, so it'll really help us to have that intimate small space with the cave.
What time is that performance
That will be at 8 p.m.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you can catch Lupercalia Uber Alice at the Philanthropy Theater at 2 p.m. And if you want to do it twice, you can catch it again at 8 p.m. at the Rock House.
Yes. BYOB, right?
Yes.
At the Rock House.
At the
Philanthropy Theater.
Definitely.
Well, today my guests have been Mindy Chanson and playwright Stella Perry, who will be performing their play, Lupercalia Uber Alice, on Valentine's Day. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.